So, it is the end of the world as we know it. How do you feel? You know who is the author of that song, "And I Feel Fine"? Oh yeah. It's the end of the world as we know it. That's the operative line of that phrase. Because the world is not ending. Every time we think it is, it goes on. Another cycle. But it does end as we know it all the time. That is the nature of change. And I never thought I could say it's the end of the world we know it. Everybody would say, yep, he's right. That's not a wingnut prophecy now. That's something that we are all much more in touch with because of this huge shift. Might be bigger than generational, might be an epoch that is changing and ending and beginning. Some beginnings I like, some I don't. Some endings I like, some I don't. But it's a lot easier to understand what is beginning when we pay attention to what we can at least see is ending. So here we stand also in this ritual place at the end of the church year, which means it's the beginning of the next. We've just finished listening to this story through the lens of Mark's gospel, and we'll start next week with Luke's gospel. That's how we have a lectionary works, and immerse ourselves in a different perspective, different resonance. But today, as we're really actually already in the Advent readings, the lectionary starts right after All Saints, to talk about the end of all things and the beginning of all things. Kind of starts with the end before it gets to the beginning. And at the end of all things is where we are today. All three scripture readings, it's the end of the world as they know it. So, in this prophecy from Daniel, the people are not in the promised land, they're in Babylon. It has ended, it is over. The promise is dead. So they do what we all do when the ground shakes. We reach for something solid. And they see God, the Ancient One, on the throne with tens of thousands, just like a limitless power and authority, something stable when nothing else is, to set the world right. And in the book of Revelation, the epistle reading, same thing is happening. The temple is destroyed. The empire has them in its crosshairs, hunting them down. And the one they follow, Jesus, is the one they put on the throne, saying, that's the one, that's who makes it all right at the end of time. And Jesus, in the gospel reading, is at the end of his own life, standing right on the edge of his doom as he is facing the empire, Caesar, the one who has tagged every building with King of Kings and Lord of Lords as his title. And Pilate, his emissary, is saying, what kind of king are you who's being handed over for crucifixion? The irony that Pilate Jesus deals right back, is you're saying I'm a king. He never owns that title. But he does claim authority. And he does it in a particular way. He says, you don't get it. This power I have, this authority I have, doesn't come from Caesar's world. It comes from another place. And he talks then about truth. Everyone, he says, I came to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Now there's an interesting take on authority. Belonging to it. Being owned by the truth. And so Pilate famously says in the next sequence, maybe still cynically, maybe with a little curiosity, what is truth? There's a lot of answers to that. And in a stage of our discussion where we have alternative facts every week, I think we could go down the rabbit hole really quickly by trying to answer that question, what is truth? But there's a truth that I want to anchor to, which is the one Jesus demonstrates today, that is the truth in which we will find life, and in no other place. So I hope I have your attention here. This is, again, the core of the core. The truth, is to join God in knowing ourselves as God knows us. The truth is joining God in seeing the world and ourselves as God sees us. Oh, that was as easy to do as it is to say. I confess to you that I have spent most of my life, maybe all of my life, addicted to what other people think of me. I have been addicted to how my parents thought of me, how my teachers thought of me, how my boss thought of me, how my friends thought of me, how my colleagues thought of me, how my partner feels about me, how I see me. None of those things are always enough. They always leave a gap. And in that gap, the gap grows wider and wider. And it keeps growing wider because then I discover how powerless I am to resolve that addiction. As the 12-step faithful know, I finally have to get to the point and say, I am powerless to help myself. I will always go down that track of letting it matter more than anything what someone else thinks about me. This is the power of the gospel, to give that up and say, you know what? How God sees me is the only thing that matters, not how I see me or anyone else. I've been reading this week from Thomas Merton's biographer, James Finley, who speaks to this point almost exactly. And he says, faith is to see ourselves as God sees us, as utterly, invincibly precious. All the broken places and unresolved matters are no obstacle to God. This is salvation. What if our brokenness has no authority over us? What if only love has authority over us? That's the point of view that allowed Jesus to stand toe-to-toe to Caesar and speak from authority and be owned by that truth. For us, so many things in this world are crumbling. Maybe it's always been true. Maybe we just see it better now. And we make this incredibly audacious and daring commitment to let it go, let it die. That's the baptism we celebrated 2 weeks ago, was that symbol of just be buried in baptism and rise to this new way. Let go all of those assessments and step into this divine appreciation. That is something new. What is dying is our addiction to the illusion that we are out here on our own. That we have to somehow climb something to earn something, to be good enough. Those kind of equations that get set up for us. That we are separated in any way from love. Faith, this belief in higher power, isn't just belief that things will turn out okay. It's belief that, and awareness, knowing that we are okay, that we're adopting God's view of us as our own. And where it really gets exciting is that as we come to be owned by this truth, we can, if we learn it here, start to see it there. I start to see you as God sees you, know you as God knows you, even though you don't know you as God knows you yet. We can start giving people this divine gaze that we have felt. And look what happens. You've heard me kind of play with the word kingdom by dropping the G and saying, this is God's kingdom. That's exactly what it is. Seeing the divine in one another, knowing the divine regard in ourselves. That is an energy that just continues to build and grow. It, as the first reading from Daniel says, it is indestructible. It never ends. There is nothing that trumps that dominion. That kingdom is not of this world, and it is unstoppable. We are all addicted to something, even if it's just our own way of seeing the world. Maybe that's our primary addiction. This is the invitation to let it go, let it die, and be born again into this way God sees us and everything else. So today, this last Sunday of the church year, it's as good a day as any to let it be a day of endings. I'm just saying one more time, let it go, and a day of beginnings. Let end any authority in our life that is not the reign of Christ. Who says, unconditionally, I love you entirely, forever. Amen.